This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
And I'm going to ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Beal.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
McCleary.
Here.
Milstead.
Here.
Ms. Skimmins.
Here.
Perry.
Here.
Sullivan.
Excused.
Wangsness.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
Willardson.
Here.
Zickman.
Here.
Gosh.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
And we do have a quorum. Thank you. And with that, everybody read the minutes from last meeting.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion from Representative Perry to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Gosh. Representative Milstead, do you have a comment?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I believe under HB 1018 that the presenter was actually Frank Marnell and Randy Moses was a proponent.
Would you like to make a motion to amend the minutes?
I would make a motion that we amend the minutes to reflect that, please.
Second.
We have a motion by Representative Milstead to amend the minutes by asking that Frank, what was the name again?
Marnell,
okay, be added as the actual proponent or sponsor. And that was seconded by Representative Beal. Any further comments? Any other comments on the minutes? We'll vote on this one. All in favor of amending the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. Any other comments on approval of the minutes as amended?
Yeah.
Seeing none, all those in favor of approval of the minutes as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so amended. Welcome everybody here today. You got the reminder on the phones. Today is the very last day of the first term of Pages. The 2 weeks have gone very fast, haven't they? I would ask the Pages to come on up to the microphone, tell us who you are, where you're from, and if you have any plans after high school.
Hello, my name is Madison Stroud. I go to McCook Central High School in Salem, South Dakota. I'm currently a junior, and I hope to go to the medical field.
I'm Destiny Haas. I go to Parker High School in Parker, South Dakota, and I am a senior, and I plan to attend Wayne State College in Nebraska for marketing and graphic design.
Good for you, and again, thank you for what you do. If you're going to testify today, please make sure that you are signed in. Besides running the sheet of those that are going to testify up to the front, the Pages will be available to do any handouts that you may have for the committee during the course of a hearing, or if you need something brought up to you. We do have three bills up today, but before we get into it, I last week we had some pretty bad weather and everybody kind of took off. We canceled our meeting last Friday, and so I asked the members from the Department of Revenue that were going to test or introduce themselves last week to come here today for a few minutes and introduce themselves, talk about what they do. If you haven't been to the Department of Revenue's website, they cover a wide variety of topics for the state of South Dakota. I think we're going to have three of their divisions represented here today. And with that, I'm going to ask if the members of, I think we got three that are here today, if they want to come on up, identify themselves, talk a little bit about your program.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jason Evans. I'm with the Business Tax Division within the Department of Revenue, and I oversee a small staff of people that administer what we have historically termed the special taxes, which is a lot of fun stuff that I'll kind of briefly explain to you folks, just so that if you have any questions along the way throughout the session, you kind of have a face as to who you should contact and talk to about any background there. We certainly appreciate the invite to come talk about what we do. As the chairman mentioned, you're only getting a small taste of the Department of Revenue. We do a lot of things, but we're going to touch on some of the stuff that you might typically see in this type of committee. So as I mentioned, I deal with the special taxes within the business tax of the Department of Revenue. And I'm not going to list them in any specific order, but I'll start with alcohol because it seems as though every single year we end up with some legislation dealing with changes to our alcoholic beverage code. And quite often those bills end up in this committee. And so one of the things that my division does is administer the licensing and taxation and regulation of the alcoholic beverage code in South Dakota. In addition to that, we do a very similar thing with tobacco, licensing, taxation, and regulation of tobacco products in South Dakota. And a lot of other fun things that I'm going to mention here real quick. We administer the bank franchise tax, which is essentially an income tax, for lack of a better word, on financial institutions. So very limited tax on financial institutions only in our state. We administer a severance tax on energy minerals. So typically in South Dakota, those include oil and natural gas, although the statute also contemplates coal and others as well. But we typically see oil and natural gas. We administer a separate severance tax on what we call precious metals, so generally your gold and silver. That's a pretty limited tax with very few taxpayers, but it's an interesting one nonetheless. From there, we get into a lot of really small industries that my division administers. So believe it or not, many of you may not even know, but we require licensing and an additional tax for anybody involved in the business of charitable bingo sales. So the people that are actually selling the bingo cards have to buy a license from my division and have to pay a tax in addition to the sales tax. They pay an additional 5% tax on those bingo products. So my division administers that tax. We administer a registration program on amusement devices, which is a decal program that folks have to buy to stick on their pinball machines and dartboards and pool tables. That decal is registration in lieu of payment of any municipal sales taxes. So that's a program administered in my division. We do a similar program for coin-operated washers and dryers. It's not necessarily a decal that they purchase, but they pay to buy a license from us, and that license fee is in lieu of any state and municipal sales tax on the gross receipts derived from those coin-operated washers and dryers. So you get into some really, really fun little industries there that we administer in my division as well. And as if those fun little programs weren't enough, somehow we've been tasked with also administering a refund program for sales or property tax refund to elderly and disabled folks. So every year, this legislature does a special appropriation for a sales tax or property tax refund program for certain eligible people who meet disability requirements or age requirements. And even though my folks don't have anything to do necessarily with sales tax or property tax, we're tasked with administering that program. So that's a fun little program that we do as well. So lots of different stuff that my division administers. I wanted to mention specifically the alcohol because that's what we most often see in this committee. But all told, the six people that I oversee in the special taxes folks, last year during fiscal year 2019, all those programs generated about $128 million for state and local governments. Virtually every one of those programs that I mentioned has some aspect of local reversion as well. It's not all state money. So if you're interested in kind of seeing where that money goes or have questions about how much each of those programs has brought in, I think you've all received by now our FY19 annual report. Looks like this. I think it was supposed to be delivered in your mailboxes. On page 12, you'll see the revenues from the business tax division. Those include sales and use tax, contractors, excise tax, all the big ones that you're all familiar with. But about the last half of that list is the ones that I just mentioned today. So you'll see the revenues generated from each of those programs. And on page 13, you can actually see the distribution of where those monies go, how they're distributed between the state and local governments. So I think that's really all I wanted to do by way of brief introduction today, Mr. Chair. I'd entertain any questions if there are any.
Well, I will open it up to questions at this time for the speaker. Anybody have any questions? The reason why I'm doing this, I want the members of the committee to be very familiar with these people, because these are the topics that we usually see in this committee, especially the alcohol. Past years, there was a lot more. I don't know if we'll see much this year. Questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And I think we got the Gaming Commission next. And good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, committee members. My name is Susan Christian, and I am the executive secretary for the South Dakota Commission on Gaming. I'm so used to saying that, obviously. I began this position in September of this year. I oversee an agency that has 12 employees that are all stationed in Deadwood. And our primary focus is we regulate the gaming industry that occurs within the city limits of Deadwood. We also oversee the pari-mutuel wagering and live horse racing. We also oversee and assist the governor's office with tribal negotiations, and we also oversee the simulcast wagering that occurs on horse racing and greyhound racing. We're not a large division. We have 12. Our funds are available for review out on our website. We do an annual report, and if you would like one of these, just let me know. And it shows where all of the money goes that is collected. The majority of it, none of it comes into the general fund. Per se, there is a portion of it, a large portion that goes to tourism, and there is a 1% tax that does come into the general fund. But it is all isolated out, and we are not a budget department. We are self-funded. Do you have any questions?
Any questions of the committee? Any questions? And I think the topics that she discussed, there are some that we see in this committee here from time to time, so I thought this one would be a very important one to get your familiarity with. Questions? Representative Zickman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If sports, gaming, gambling comes in, are you the department that's also going to oversee that?
That would be for you gentlemen to decide who would regulate it. We have been attending seminars and keeping ourselves educated and trying to learn as much about it so that if that does come into our department, we're fully prepared to regulate that.
Follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you. Thank you very much.
And because I'm new, I'm going to give your pages my business card. And if you have any questions or anything that I can assist you with, please don't hesitate to contact me. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you. And the third person coming up to speak today is from the lottery. He's going to segue because they've got the first bill up, which is House Bill 1021. I'm going to allow him to talk about the Lottery Commission and a little bit about that. Then when we're done, he's just going to take off from there and go into House Bill 1021. So, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. Norm Lingle. I'm the Executive Director for the South Dakota Lottery, which is a division of the Department of Revenue. I'd also like to introduce Clark Hepper, who is our Deputy Executive Director, and Clark is sitting right behind me. Yesterday, we've had the opportunity to meet a lot of you folks to talk about 1021. The lottery. So we actually at the lottery have three products. We have our instant tickets, our scratch tickets, our lotto games such as Powerball, Mega Millions, so forth, and then video lottery. And so I'll touch a little bit about each of those products. So instant tickets, in fiscal year 19, we actually launched or introduced into the market 29 instant ticket games. From the instant ticket standpoint, We have different price points. We have a $1 ticket, $2, $3, $5, $10, and $20 scratch tickets. Approximately 630 instant ticket retailers located across South Dakota. In fiscal year 19, we had sales of roughly $32.2 million on the instant ticket side, which led to a transfer of roughly $6.89 million. And all the instant ticket proceeds goes to the state general fund. So on the lotto side, we have five lotto games that we offer across South Dakota. Four of them are multi-state games, such as Powerball, Mega Millions. And then we have our in-state game only sold in South Dakota, which is Dakota Cash. We have drawing six nights a week. Prices range from $1 to $2. And then depending if you want to play any of the add-on features, such as Power Play, Mega Plier, there is an additional cost for those features. Roughly 616 lotto retailers in South Dakota last year, fiscal year, we had sales of $30.7 million, which led to a transfer of $8.25 million. So the general fund receives 25% of that, which was $2.1 million, and then the capital construction fund received 75%, which was $6.2 million. And then finally, on the video lottery side, there's roughly 1,250 video lottery establishments across South Dakota. Within those establishments, there's roughly 9,000 video lottery terminals. So talk a little bit about how the money is split, I guess, from the video lottery machine. So cash in minus prizes paid out equals what we call net machine income. So if you think of $1 of net machine income, 50 cents goes to the machine owner, and then that machine owner will then typically split that with the establishments where they locate their video lottery terminals. 49.5% goes to the general fund, and then we keep 0.5% to help fund lottery operations. So last year, last fiscal year, from video lottery, roughly $114.23 million went to the state general fund from video lottery. I'd also like to make mention that we understand at the lottery that there are people that do have issues with lottery as they do with other different types of items. And so to assist with that, the lottery makes available every fiscal year, $214,000 that we, as I mentioned, make available to the Department of Social Services to assist with problem gambling treatment. So with that, one thing I'd like to mention too, we also have an annual report. If you'd like a hard copy, certainly let us know, but it is posted on the lottery's website. There's also what I'll kind of call a rolled up version of this annual report included within the Department of Revenue annual report. And so a lot of those details are also in that that document as well. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding the lottery.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Are there questions of Mr. Lingle regarding the lottery? Any questions? Well, again, he is available. He's up, but I see him in the Capitol pretty much, if not every day of the week, most every day. He's available to corner and ask a question, be willing to meet with you. I know he's always open to meeting with the legislators regarding questions on the lottery. So, and with that, thank you. And we are going to segue right now into our first bill. And since Mr. Lingle is sitting there, I will now open it up to House Bill 1021. It's an act to revision certain provisions regarding the South Dakota Lottery Commission. With that, proponent testimony.
All right. Good morning again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Norm Lingle, Executive Director for the South Dakota Lottery. And I'm here to ask for your support for House Bill 1021, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the South Dakota Lottery Commission. So a little background on this bill. So current law permits the Lottery Commission to have 7 members. For the past few years, past probably roughly year and a half to 2 years, we have been working with a commission of only 5 members. So why is that? So I think a couple things that have led to that. Number one, I believe that stricter conflict of interest laws have been incorporated over the past few years, and it's making it increasingly difficult to find people to serve not only on the Lottery Commission, but I believe on other state boards and commissions. In addition to what I'll call the broader conflict of interest laws, Lottery has their own conflict of interest laws that further, I guess, narrow the pool of possible folks able to serve on the Lottery Commission. And one of those provisions is directly or indirectly having an interest in a business which contracts for the operation or promotion of the lottery. And so a couple examples of those. So if I work for one of the banks and the bank I work for has a customer who is in the lottery business, is that an indirect conflict? If my spouse is an attorney and they have a client who is a lottery retailer or does business with the lottery, you know, is that a conflict of interest? In addition to some of those conflicts, we also have a play prohibition against playing any of the lottery games for any of our commissioners, as well as anybody age 18 or older that resides within the same house. And so if I were to serve on the Lottery Commission, my spouse would be prohibited from playing any of the lottery games. In my particular instance, I have 2 daughters that are over age 18 or older, and so they would be prohibited from playing any of the lottery games as well. And so a lot of those things, as I mentioned, has made it extremely difficult to find folks that are willing to serve on the Lottery Commission. Want to point out that the Commission on Gaming has a commission of 5 members. They seem to be able to handle things well. And I will also tell you, for the last year and a half to 2 years, our Lottery Commission has been able to do things well as well, with just the 5 members. So if House Bill 1021 passes, the number of lottery commissioners would move from 7 to 5. It leaves in place that not all commissioners can be from the same political party. We truly believe that the Lottery Commission can adequately perform their duties with 5 members. And the other thing I'd like to point out, too, that, you know, I think that we do a very nice job of having transparent Lottery Commission meetings. So when we have a Lottery Commission meeting, virtually all of our Lottery Commission meetings are held in one of the legislative conference rooms on the north side. So why do we do that? I think because of the internet capabilities, so that they're all broadcast live on the internet. We can capture that audio recording. We post it to the boards and commission page. We also post it to the lottery website. It has the telecommunication function so that if people want to call in, we can adequately accommodate that. And of course, it has the audiovisual pieces too. And so we really, I truly believe, operate in a transparent manner. You know, with that, I guess, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission, I would ask for your support on House Bill 1021, and I would stand by for any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Langle. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1021? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1021?
Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'm going to open up the committee questions. Questions of the committee for the proponent, for Mr. Linkle. Any questions on House Bill 1021? Seeing no questions, I am now going to open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1021. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
Second.
We have a motion from Representative Johnson, do pass on House Bill 1021. That's seconded by Representative Gosch. Comments on that motion? Representative Johnson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think it's a necessary adjustment. I think a lot of these boards are going to this five-member format, and we need to allow and facilitate for these meetings to take place and the business to be taken care of, and I think it's a good decision.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Seeing none, I'm just going to add that I think we're getting into a time where it's more difficult to fill these positions. We've got over 100 boards and commissions in the state of South Dakota. It's getting harder and harder to fill these positions. And I think we're going to see a trend at some point of going from 9 to 7 or 7 to 5. I don't think the money saved is all that much, but I think just to have decisions made and a proper committee formed, we're going to have to start. You'd think that with technology these days, we wouldn't have a problem, but people just don't want to serve like they used to. So I think this is a necessary piece of legislation. I'm going to ask for your support on this bill. And with that, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1021. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Gimmons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Wangsness.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willadson.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Gosch.
Yes.
Brown.
Aye.
Browns. Okay.
Aye.
Having an affirmative vote of the committee, House Bill 1021 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Unless there's an objection, I will move this to consent.
Second.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, House Bill 1021 will move to the floor, be placed on the consent calendar with the due pass recommendation. And Mr. Hepper, I see a family resemblance there, and I keep looking over here.
Are you offended, person?
Are you denying?
Somewhat.
I think they're seventh cousins, but I digress. Representative Johnson, I know you made the motion on that. It's a simple one to carry on the floor. Pardon?
Be happy to hear it.
You got it. Will you be able to handle that over in the caucus there with you too? Okay. Just checking. I didn't want to have to appoint it. And with that, we now have a couple of bills from a department that very seldom comes to visit us, but they're here today. We've got House Bill 1037. An act to update the adoption of certain American Society for Testing and Materials and National Institute of Standards and Technology Standards and certain federal regulations from the Department of Public Safety. And with that, I'll ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1037.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Angie Lemieux. I'm the Director of Administrative Services with the Department of Public Safety. And I won't read the whole title again since it is kind of long, but I'm here to ask for your support for House Bill 1037. And basically what this bill does is it ensures that South Dakota's Weights and Measures Program within the Department of Public Safety has the standards and the consistent with those that are across the country. We at the department do in excess of about 13,000 inspections per year using these standards. It's important that the standards and regulations that we adopt and utilize coincide with the regulations of surrounding states and the nation as a whole to provide South Dakota businesses a unified platform in order for trade and commission, in commerce, I'm sorry. When you look at the bill, it looks like it's a long bill. It's 5 pages, but as you'll notice, there's a few stylistic changes, but mostly it's just changing the year that we're adopting that we want to update our standards to. One of the first things that we need to change is our CFR standards. They were done January 1st of 2013. We're changing those to the 2020, January 1st, 2020. Things in those standards relate to fuel ratings, certification, record keeping, product transfer documents, and labeling specifications. The other two things that we need to, that we're updating from 2015 to 2020 is our NIST handbooks and then our ASTM standards. And basically those just have, those are the things that we utilize when we're out doing inspections. It's how the quality of fuel that's brought in the state, and we just, you know, want to be up to date on those and with matching the federal regulations. Also, I just want to mention that industry does participate in amending the handbooks and standards each year. They're a crucial partner in formulating the regulations and standards that they're held accountable on the federal side. So this just, again, you know, avoids that checkerboard happening where one state regulation, states and federal regulations are different. It just makes it easier for industry and commerce, and then also helps us as new technology comes into play. This information is in the new updated handbooks that we need to use. So with that, I'll stand by and ask for your support for House Bill 1037.
Thank you very much. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1037?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the executive director and lobbyist for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. In a nutshell, that's the gas station owners, the transporters of petroleum and propane products, and people who deliver home heating fuel through bulk trucks. We do stand in support of this bill today. As Angie mentioned, we are one of the industries that does work closely with Weights and Measures, and sitting beside me in the back of the room is Lori Jacobson, who happens to be the director of Weights and Measures. And Lori and I work very closely on all kinds of issues. This particular update deals with some labeling. It deals with standards. Those standards and labels are critical to be updated so that we can stay up with the most recent technology. And so together, Weights and Measures and myself, our industry can stay consistent. Checkerboarding is also an issue. We like to have everything consistent across those, so there's no issue if I have to cross state lines to get product. But so we would urge your support on this, and I would stand by for any questions. Thank you.
And thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1037.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Ethanol Producers Association, and we, too, support House Bill 1037. The American Standards for Testing and Materials sets the standard specifications governing the quality and performance of ethanol fuels and other biofuels, and so making sure that the South Dakota references to those standards is updated is important to our industry. So we urge you to support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1037? Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, I'm going to open up to opponent testimony on House Bill 1037. Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up to committee questions. Are there questions of the committee? Just keep in mind somebody's going to have to explain this to caucuses and on the floor in case there's questions. So does anybody have a question? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1037.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Carl Perry.
I'm going to move for due pass.
We have a motion from Representative Perry, due pass on House Bill 1037. That was seconded by Representative Ms. Gimmons. Comments on that motion? Representative Perry, do you have any comments?
Mr. Chair, I think that it's well organized, well put together, very important to stay on top of things like this. Weights and measures and standards need to be consistent in order for us to be effective, and I think that this is one of those. Clean up the language, make things right, and obviously we have a lot of proponents, no opponents. I would say this is a real good bill.
Thank you. Any other comments on the due pass motion? Representative McCleary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In discussion with the ladies yesterday, I think some of you are probably not aware that on your weights and scales, when you come into an elevator, and those are weighed. Those have to be balanced. If they're not, somebody's getting a shaft on either end. But so that, thank you for part of that, because that's, you know, very informative. I don't know if I've been on this committee when that's came to us before, but there's a lot of moving parts to this. Thank you.
I missed part of that, but you said something about the shaft. Was that a pun or just okay? Thank you, and you are exactly correct. Any other comments on the do pass motion? Seeing none, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1037. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Skimmins.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Wangsness.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willadson.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Have an affirmative vote of the committee. House Bill 1037 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Seeing no, if there is any objection, unless there's any objection, I'm going to move this to consent. Is there an objection? Seeing none, House Bill 1037 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and will be placed on the consent calendar. If we could have a cheat sheet, I call it, or a little summarization, because somebody, and I haven't decided exactly who yet, is going to carry this for questions, and we have to explain it to our caucuses. And I am... made sure, since you've got one in front of you, Representative Perry, you're going to explain this one to our caucus and be ready to explain it on the floor if there's any questions.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Okay. That's two down, and we'll get to our third bill today. Third bill today would be House Bill 1038. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding manufactured home, construction, and safety standards. With that, the chair will look for a proponent testimony in House Bill 1038.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Paul Merriman, Department of Public Safety, State Fire Marshal. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'll briefly explain House Bill 1038.
Proceed.
Through a cooperative agreement with HUD, the State Fire Marshal's Office serves as a state administrative agency in South Dakota for the Department of Public Safety. In this role, we're responsible for establishing and enforcing both the manufactured home construction safety standards as well as the manufactured home procedural and enforcement regulations on behalf of HUD. This is really a cleanup bill to catch a couple outdated references to the Code of Federal Regs. In addition to that, it makes a variety of style and format updates as well to clarify statute for industry and the public. The changes are necessary to keep us in compliance with our cooperative agreement and with the requirements of the federal program. We would ask for your support today, and we'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Merriman. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1038? Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1038? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'm going to open up to committee questions. Are there any questions of the committee? Representative Milstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Merriman? I'm looking at number 2 under section 2. I'm just curious why you've added entry, but then you didn't put fail or refuse to make reports. Why didn't you add refuse in there? It's not consistent to me.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm not certain, actually. These changes were put in place, these language changes. Some of them are style and format changes, but these changes were made, the language changes, due to a federal audit that we, HUD, conducts every 2 years, and this was recommended language that they had us add in there. So really, these changes are verbatim based on that audit.
Representative Milstead, does that answer? Yes. And I see what your question is, and I think it's, if there's a problem, it's more grammar
it's something that we can have time to research this. I think we can move it to the floor, and if we need to change it, we can change it on the floor. I'd hate to hold the bill up because maybe we missed a word when they were drafting or something. I'm reading this, and I know exactly where you're coming from on that. Maybe there's a reason for that, and we need to find out why. Any other questions or comment on this question? With that, I will then open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1038.
Mr. Chairman.
There we go. Representative Milstead.
Excuse me. I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to pass from Representative Milstead, yep. Seconded by Representative McCleary. Comments on that motion? Representative Milstead, do you have any comments on that motion?
Only comment is it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty minute, the comment that I made, but I think it's easy.
And if we do, if it is just an error when they were drafting this, but there might be a reason why that word was left out, we should find that out. But it's other than that, it's a simple piece of legislation. Are there any other comments on the motion to pass? Seeing none, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1038. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Beal.
Pass.
Johnson.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Gibbons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan. Wangsness.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willadson.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
He votes before Gosh and I vote. He votes before Gosh and I, so you got to go back to him.
We'll wait whenever you're ready.
Okay. Gosh.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
We have 13 affirmative.
Having an affirmative vote of the committee, House Bill 1038 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I am going to recommend consent. If we find that this has to be amended, we can deal with it. But unless it, if the language is correct, I think just belongs on the consent calendar. So unless there's an objection right now, I'd like it to be on the consent calendar. And then they'll get back to us and let us know if there's an issue that we have to look at. So without objection, this will be placed on consent calendar. House Bill 1038, with the due pass recommendation, will move to the floor and be placed on consent calendar. Oh, I like that. Three bills, three consent calendar bills. Representative Perry, do you have a question?
I was just going to say, Mr. Chairman, if it's okay, I do have the sheet for 1038 that they passed out. I'll give you it to Mills.
I think everybody's got one on their desk because they were very good at coming to us on this. And I'm going to have Representative Milstead be responsible for this one should there be a question. That way you're going to follow up on that wordage. So, or verbiage or grammar or whatever it is. Okay, next Monday, I've been sitting here debating. We got two bills. I got three bills scheduled for Wednesday, and then we're going to have the Governor's Office of Economic Development come in, spend some time talking to us about their program and specifically the broadband that's going on in South Dakota. And I think that would be good for this committee. So I'm going to have two bills that'll be left after the three we do on Wednesday right now. I'm thinking I'll put those two bills on. We'll do those Monday. And I was kind of thinking, well, maybe we should just cancel Monday's meeting so if people out of town can drive in slow Monday morning. And I'm thinking that's what we're going to do. We're going to have no meeting on Monday morning.
Thanks for the cliffhanger there.
Oh, yeah.
Just the build up.
I build it up there pretty well. We'll have no meeting on Monday morning. Wednesday, we're going to have a full day, and I would have a feeling we're going to get some more bills in today. We've got some busy days coming up, but I don't want to have people rush back. Monday's going to be a nice weekend. Take your time coming back. We're going to have a busy week next week. Representative Archbeal.
Mr. Chair, I'd love to make a motion to adjourn.
Is that a
sounds like a desire.
I move we adjourn.
We have a motion from Representative Archbold to adjourn, and that was seconded by somebody over here. Representative Sullivan? Okay, I heard prefatory remarks, but I'm going to let it go. All those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.